We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 10th. We're going to talk about the need for a well-educated, well-grounded, that is, educated and grounded in God's Word, the need for a well-educated laity in the church. I think that in many ways, the strength of the church and the future of the church lies largely in that, well, how does it work with when Jesus says that the gates of heaven shall not prevail against his church, the church that he will build? How does that work? Is it just because the church is here that there's going to be, we do not need to fear the gates of hell? He says, upon this rock, this confession, a confession that comes not only out of the mouth of Peter, but everyone that Peter taught, every member of the church, this confession, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need a laity that can confess the truth of God's word. Joining us to talk about it, Pastor Eric Lang, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. He's executive director of Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission. Pastor Lang, welcome to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Also, Gene White, board member and treasurer for Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission. Gene, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Pastor Lang, does the Bible teach the importance of a well-catechized, well-educated laity?
Well, it's interesting you put it that way. Does the Bible? I mean, the Word of God's existence as the Bible, I would say, in itself implies a well-catechized, that is, a learned laity. The fact that we have a Bible, that the Scriptures were given, and even before the existence of the Bible, when we have letters that were written in the New Testament, these were to be read to the congregation, you know, not just to select individuals, but to the entire congregation. So I'd say God's Word was given to be heard and to be learned, and, you know, not just by the clergy. So, for example, Paul writes, you know, in Philippians 1:1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And so that includes the laity.
Gene, why do you think it's important, especially nowadays, and among Lutherans, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod especially, that the laity remain well-grounded in God's Word and well-educated?
Well, to me, the importance is twofold, and it's really prompted by my own life experiences. I've always been involved in teaching the laity, but I myself have never been what you might call well-catechized, according to that popular definition, because the churches I was attending were not. And so here I was trying to do the best I could with educating the laity on the basis of what I knew and understood, but there was so much I didn't know and understand, and so an instructor can't teach what he doesn't know, basically. And so I have a lifelong experience almost of being in churches that were pretty much devoid of any deep training or education on the confessions, on any of the writings of the Lutheran fathers themselves. It just, you know, it was like kind of a big void. So this last few years has been a big revelation to me. And so taking that and going forward into the CLCC and trying to help make up for the losses that we've experienced over the years has been my goal in this whole thing, so that the laity can be properly educated. And my operating assumption is that if they're properly educated, they will make the right decisions. If they're not properly educated, who knows what decision they'll come up with.
Pastor Lang, when we talk about a well-grounded, well-educated laity in the church, let's talk content, if we could. I mean, we could go as broad as teach them to observe everything I have commanded you, but we're talking about something finer than merely memorizing word for word the Bible. What are the essentials that the laity need to be considered, at least according to how God's Word would regard it, well-grounded?
Well, I think they need to know the scriptural stories, for one thing. I think it's been said before, but I think it's really true that there's a lot of biblical illiteracy out there. And I think just knowing the major stories that really, in a sense, set the framework of who we are and what we believe, and then knowing the centrality of Christ's position in all this, why does he come when he comes, and what's the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then why does this matter to me, because of what Christ has done. So I think it's being familiar with the narrative is important, and I think we have a great resource in the Small Catechism too, the main doctrinal content and points. If we knew the Catechism as well as we should, I think we would be able to do a lot better in analyzing things that come into our lives, whether it be in the church or whether it be out in secular society or wherever. Just one example, Luther says in his large catechism that if anybody knows the Ten Commandments perfectly, they can make decisions about all sorts of things in life. And I think, we've lost some of that.
Where was the weak link, or where did the chain break, where we, at least according to how we like to say we do things, we bring up our children in Christian homes, we bring them to church, they're taught the basic biblical narratives in Sunday school. We, at some point, earlier or later, teach them the content of the Small Catechism, at least. How do we end up with an uneducated laity?
Well, I think it's pretty hard to pinpoint an exact time. I think it was over a period of time. Good things don't happen right away. They take time, and the same thing, I think, with bad things over time. I kind of put it this way. We're all playing catch-up, in a sense. There's things that I've learned. I've been in the ministry 20 years now, and there's things that I've learned that if you would ask me 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, I think somewhat differently because I simply have learned more. But I think a lot of it is our assumptions. We assume we know a lot of things. We assume we know history, for example, and really, we've come to find out, we don't. If we do some real research, we find out we don't. Just one example, I was just talking about this the day of our circuit meeting, that a lot of people don't know, for example, that before our forefathers came over from Saxony, Americans here in the 1800s, American Protestants didn't celebrate Christmas. They were opposed to Christmas. They viewed it as Roman Catholic. And it was when our forefathers came over that began to change, also some of the work of early Irvin Berlin and some of these secular things. But it's kind of interesting because recently we had this Put Christ Back in Christmas, and the neo-evangelicals were, making a big deal about this. But what's ironic would be 150 years ago, they would have been, against it. And so we think we know history, and but we really don't.
Gene,
getting back to your question, I think the issue for me was that as a young adult, I was catechized with Luther's Small Catechism, and I felt that I was well catechized at the time. But what didn't happen was any follow-on reinforcement of that. And so over the years, that kind of drifted away from me, the principles that were in there, because there was never an opportunity to review it, and I mean in a class or anything that reinforced it or carried on from there. It was just like a big vacuum area, and I think that's what happens to a lot of our laity. Some kind of go away thinking that once they get through the Small Catechism, they know all they need to know, and we don't give them the idea that they're just on the tip of the iceberg here. They're just starting to crack the iceberg a little bit. And so, it's a tough sell sometimes because they walk away from catechism with the wrong impression, and now somebody comes along 5, 10, 15 years later and say, oh, by the way, you're missing something here, and it doesn't go over real well sometimes.
Gene, how would you assess the state of the laity in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod right now?
Oh, boy, that's a toughie, but I think I probably, as a layman, have a fair amount of experience there because I have moved around the country over my lifetime. I'm retired now, but over my lifetime I've lived in many different states and many different districts and And my general view is that the knowledge and understanding of the laity has steadily decreased, and it's really I think in many areas of the country it's pretty darn lax. I live in Oregon now, and I have some firsthand experiences here that are not impressive as to the Lutheran laity's understanding of what's going on either in their church from a doctrine and practice point of view or even outside of their church.
A quick call here before the break from Steve listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey. As one who didn't grow up Lutheran but Baptist, I kind of look at this from a different vantage point. Coming in, from my viewpoint, a lot of people in the Lutheran Church treat confirmation as graduation, almost like, okay, get there, got the diploma, done, check that, move on, and as opposed to the, no, you're just starting, and that process is not reinforced because Sunday school, adult Bible study, et cetera, are treated as an afterthought at best.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. We'll get the response from our two guests, Pastor Eric Lang and Gene White, on the other side of the break. The rest of you, this break is a great time to call. We're talking about the need for an educated and a biblically well-grounded laity in the church. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issues.etc. In answer to Steve's comment from Pastor Eric Lang, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon, executive director of Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission, and Gene White, board member and treasurer of Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission, on the other side of the break. After about 10 minutes, it'll be hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll talk with Dr. Hunter Baker about secularism. He's author of a new book, The End of Secularism. Stay tuned.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the need for an educated laity. Pastor Eric Lang and Gene White are our guests. Steve called before the break. Gene, I want to know what you think. He says that in a lot of cases, adult Bible class post-confirmation, post-adolescent education is an afterthought at best. What are your thoughts, Gene?
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. quite often, the topics are not very meaty in terms of Lutheran understanding the Lutheran faith at all. I mean, I'm a big believer in Bible studies. Okay, don't ever get me wrong there. But on the other hand, some of those don't go very deep either, and you never get the context of what the Bible study or the passages are really set in. And so, the participant goes away with not a full understanding of what they were in. But I don't see our churches teaching the confessions per se. I could give you a not too long ago experience of my own when I was teaching the Epitome kind of as a trial in a church, and we had all the elders except one there plus some other lay people, and after the first two lessons, all the elders disappeared, strangely. and so the rest of them hung in there, and they sat through the rest of the course. But again, you have people who have wrong understandings about what the Lutheran faith is all about. And when you get into a meaty topic like the Epitome, as an example, it starts conflicting with their more or less halfway reformed views of doctrine, and they find a conflict, and they bail on you because they're not willing to go through the process of reevaluating where they are, how they learned it, who taught it to them, and what it is I really should know. And so they just bail, and I think that's most unfortunate.
Pastor Lang, you know, this is a worrisome topic for pastors because they realize that they are laying the foundation for the future. And if you end up with people, as Gene just mentioned, who are elders in a Lutheran congregation and are unwilling to swallow what the Lutheran confessions teach on any given topic, that's a very dangerous situation indeed. I guess what I'm wondering is how do we prevent this, especially when within the bounds of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today, there are a fair number of pastors who either neglect to or, in some cases, remarkably, refuse to even use the small catechism to educate their people at any age level.
Yeah, I think the task is huge, and I think that's why I say we're all playing catch-up here. And I've had those experiences he's talking about. I wanted to kind of comment about the gentleman's question, though. I think part of the problem is, and this might be, too, why elders are acting this way, too, that they see, the problem is they're seeing this God's Word as simply information. This is information. And once you can, it's like math. Once you know 2 plus 2 equals 4, you got it. And they don't realize that the Word of God is active and living, and that it actually does something. It actually does something when we speak it, when we read it, when we hear it. And it's not simply information. I think Luther understood this. And when we're talking about the small catechism, for example, it has become unfortunate. So you were asking one of the things why we got where we are. I think one of the reasons was because the catechism has simply become an instruction book in many people's minds. And that's not what Luther intended it for. I think he intended it, yes, instruction, but it was devotional. It was as the head of the household should teach his children in a simple way. And this was to be, you know, something, this was part of living the baptismal life. As you, you know, repeated the catechism and continued, and Luther would say he was a student of the catechism till the day he died. And because why? It's the same thing with law and gospel. It's easy to theoretically talk about law and gospel, but applying it to yourself, that's the trick.
Okay, we have several emails that we need to get to here. Brett in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania writes, "The strength of the Lutheran Church has always been in its laity. That's why Luther wanted to give the German people the Bible in their language so they could see the true gospel and be able to ward off the wolves that would take advantage of the sheep. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is stressing loyalty to their denomination rather than the Word of God and is ignoring that their ship is sinking, demanding that the people don't get into the lifeboats and flee. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it seems synodical headquarters wants the same sort of structural loyalty. We are not so different." Pastor Lang, a brief response.
Wow. you know, that's always the danger of institutional loyalty. And I love the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but I'm a Lutheran. And if the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod goes away from the Lutheran teachings, then I'm going to go away. And, you know, that's, you know, I love my synod, and I'm proud of my synod, and I want to support and work for my synod. But, you know, to me, it's like honoring your father and mother. You first yes, you honor your father and your mother, but you don't put them above God.
Ken in Orlando, Florida writes this, could the lack of lay education be due in part to the church growth movement? Doctrine isn't the big seller, so it tends to be thrown over the side. Some churches have added services to expand worship choices, which often pulls pastors away from teaching Sunday school. Small groups that are not accountable to a pastor are often tempted to copy the culture and talk more about feelings than spiritual truth. Gene, your response?
Well, I would certainly agree with that statement. I think that's one of the things where we have, in fact, come down is the area of having knowledgeable lay teachers that can really teach these things. Because I don't see it possible where a pastor in a medium-sized or larger congregation where there's only one pastor can possibly teach all the classes that need to be taught. And so I think the key to that is building up very, very knowledgeable laity to teach some of these classes so that they don't go off into the wilderness when you have a small group formed somewhere. You have someone who's a very strong leader and a very knowledgeable leader that can lead that group and keep them from going into the wilderness, basically. There's no such thing as a lay person knowing everything he needs to know to teach when you're teaching God's Word and the confessions. But on the other hand, a good instructor always knows when to say, I'll check that out. I'll get a second opinion. Or, you know, don't go away with having the wrong thought here. There's, you know, instructor techniques that need to be employed so that when people leave the classroom situation, they know that they're going to get the right answer next time they get together, and they're not leaving the classroom atmosphere with a wrong answer. And I think that's some people have a perchance to fill in the blanks when they don't really know or talk through the point and leave the false impression. But I think a catechized laity is important to keep that process going. It's just, it's a lot of people's jobs. It's not just more than one person can do.
Dan in Columbus, Ohio writes, great topic, the lack of continuous catechesis causes lay people to outsource their Christian knowledge to their pastor rather than learn it and keep it for themselves. When a congregation puts itself in this position, a pastor can tell them to change their constitution and bylaws, send the money to expensive outreach programs, or whatever is more in tune with the pastor's quote-unquote vision than the Word of God. About 30 seconds to respond to that, Pastor Lang.
Well, I think that's always a danger, and that's part of the problem when people fail to realize, the laity fails to realize that this is God's Word. It's been given to them. They are to judge their shepherds. Our Lord tells us to avoid false prophets. And so, I tell my people, I view it kind of as they're the jury and I'm the attorney. And when I bring God's Word to them, I got to prove it to them from God's Word. And they need to listen, you know, and hear and be fair and hear, you know, but they have to, you know, recognize it's the Bereans, you know, in Acts 17. You know, they examine the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. But don't just take my word for it. Give me a fair chance to plead what I'm saying, but just don't take my word for it. Make me show you from Scripture.
A real quick question. Don in Junction City, Kansas wonders, Pastor Lang, do you think we could win the battle for the Bible as we did in the 70s with the lack of lay education that we have today? Only about 10 seconds to respond.
No way. Yeah, that was huge in that.
What is the Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission, and what are you doing to educate the laity, Pastor Lang? You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, this came about because we were concerned that there were those who were trying to separate doctrine and mission, for one thing, and Matthew 28 very clearly says that you said teach to obey all things. I like the word treasure all things. I think tereo can mean treasure, and I like that better. We're trying to bring resources for congregations pulling resources from clergy and laity out there who might have expertise in particular fields that maybe somebody wouldn't be able to get elsewhere, and try to make that available to help the cause here of educating the laity.
Gene, with only about 20 seconds, why did you get involved in the CLCC?
Well, that's a long story. I got more than 20 seconds worth there, but I got involved because that was my passion, okay, to teach, and my longstanding recognition that the right things were not being taught, and I was encouraged by some other lay people and a pastor to don't give up on this, keep going with it, and let's get something going, and that led to our organizational process, and we are doing seminars all over the country now.
Folks, we will post a link to the Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission at our website, issuesetc.org. All you got to do is go there and click on demand, issuesetc.org. Pastor Eric Lang is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon, executive director of Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission. Pastor Lang, thank you.
My pleasure.
Gene White is a board member and treasurer for Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission. Gene, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
You bet. Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
When we come back from this break, we're going to start off hour two of Issues, Etc., talking about secularism. Where did it begin, and is it on its way to ending? Dr. Hunter Baker, author of the new book, The End of Secularism, will be our guest. I dare say that what we have watched transpire, the new ideas, the unbiblical ideas that were foisted on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America on human sexuality, simply could not have had any success if that laity had been well educated. Let's learn the lesson and educate ourselves and our laity. We'll be right back with the second hour.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.